This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
It's great to be with you. I hope you're all well. Are you well? Tell me, how are you doing? I hope things are going okay in your space and in your room, wherever you are in these difficult, trying times. Many of you are really, really super busy. And some of us have got, some of you have got lots of time on your hands for one reason or another. So I just wanted to remind you, whatever your situation, about some of the lessons we learned at the beginning of the year, actually. Do you remember we started off on our theme for the year of follow me? And we looked at the sort of starting point for that was to be about spending time with Jesus. And we thought about, how do you do that? How do you spend time with Jesus? And we looked at various things. So things like spending time in the scriptures, and Lectio Divina is a really good tool for that. And we talked about a tool for reflecting and rummaging around in what God's doing in your life. And that's called examine. And then we thought about centering our lives on Jesus through reflective prayer and through journaling. And even calming those inner voices that seek to distract us, so that we can hear from the Holy Spirit by celebrating, yes, celebrating silence and solitude. That's the hardest one for me. And then, you know, each week we've had the song of the week, which has been good, hasn't it? A way of just sort of helping us think of one particular gift of worship. All those ideas are on the website, on our talks from back in January and February. I'd commend them to you, and make sure we spend time with Jesus in these years, in these months. So our theme over the summer has been, we've got encounters with Jesus, and we've got one more talk after today with our special guests next week, Francis and Elaine Wainaina. We can't wait to see them, have them share with us. If you're there, thank you for watching, Elaine and Francis. I'm looking forward to having you with us next week. Today, I'm going to look at Nicodemus and John chapter 3. So if you'd like to find John chapter 3. But before we get into that, the world is going through a dark time, isn't it? And many people are asking why questions. There's the darkness of the horrific persecution of the Uyghurs in Western China. There's the darkness of race relations, East and West. There's the darkness of environmental catastrophe. There's the darkness of a plague the world over. And we seek the light of a new dawn. We're desperate for the sun to rise and bring light and hope and peace and justice and freedom and eternal life, all those things which Christians call the kingdom of God. And here is the story of a Jewish man in John chapter 3 who can represent every one of us, and how he came out of the darkness seeking this kingdom, this wonderful kingdom of God. And when Jesus revealed to him how this longed-for, deeply desired cosmic transformation could come about, Nicodemus responds, "How can these things happen? How can these things happen?" Before we read the story, I just want to give you a little bit of Jewish history that loiters in the background of this story, which is useful to know. If you are familiar with the Old Testament, in Numbers 21, we're in the middle of this story about the people of Israel having left an exodus out of Egypt across the Red Sea, and they're on their way to conquer Canaan. And in between there, this long period in the desert. And here's a story about them being attacked by a plague of vipers, and people are dying. And Moses, their leader, says to God, "Well, what can I do?" And under instruction from God, he fashions this bronze serpent, and he holds it up on a standard for people to see. And all the people who looked and believed, even if they'd been bitten, they lived. The bronze viper didn't heal them in and of itself. It was the act of belief. It was kneeling before the serpent and seeing God's healing power released. That's the background. Let's turn to John chapter 3 in your Bibles. We're going to read verses 1 to 21. John chapter 3, 1 to 21. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He's top bod, okay? He was sort of like the Archbishop of Canterbury type. He was in charge. And this main man, he came to Jesus at night, which I think is metaphorically, you could take that as coming out of the darkness to the light. And he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if a God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God." You remember that kingdom that I described of justice and peace and hope and light? No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are, famous words, born again. There's lots of meaning in that phrase. We're going to look at that in the study tonight. Nicodemus asked, "How can someone be born again when they are old? Surely they cannot enter in a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Particularly difficult if, like me, my mother has died." And he's saying, "How can that be?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God, this longed for transformational place, unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." Those are more interesting phrases we're going to dig into tonight in the study. Verse 7, Jesus says, "You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everybody who's born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus replies, he asks, "How can this be?" Or a better translation might be, "How can these things happen? How can these things happen? You are Israel's teacher," Jesus says. You're the main man. You know this stuff. You know the Bible backwards. You've memorized most of it, and you do not understand these things." There's a shift now in the story. If you were reading it in the Greek, you'd be able to notice that the shift goes from Jesus talking in the first person about himself and talking, or at least talking as an individual, to Nicodemus as an individual. The grammar turns to plural. So Jesus is talking in the context of we, us, and he's talking to you, the people. So it's like Jesus and the church, the Christians, explaining their faith to everybody else. He says, "Very truly, I tell you," verse 11, "we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you, all of you, believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." We come out of the darkness, like Nicodemus came out of the darkness, to the light of the world. We come away from our plague, the plague of vipers, and on our knees, we look up to Jesus on the cross. We place our belief in him, and the forces of darkness and the bite of the viper will not prevail. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict, verse 19. Light has come into the world. This light that Nicodemus is seeking has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done is done in the sight of God. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right. And it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Last year, an old friend of mine and I were talking. We were having a pint down at the Lord Darcy, and he sort of dismissed the Christian faith by saying, I've turned to God and I said to him, it's okay, I'm on it. Meaning he doesn't need or want God in his life. He's got it all under control. He has adapted to the darkness, to use the language of John 3, and no longer seeks the kingdom. And in my times of doubt and questioning, when I'm tempted to go my own way, I'm brought back to the realization that I am not on it. And if my friend or anyone else thinks that they are on it, that they've got everything buttoned down, then the arrival of this sub-microscopic infectious agent, COVID-19, blows that arrogance out of the water. I look around at 100 years of racism and I think, why can't we get out of this darkness either? I look at the way we live our lives, steadily, relentlessly damaging God's earth. Why can't we get out of that darkness? I look at our living standards rising and our mental health plummeting into self-harm and suicide. Why can't we get out of that darkness? And then we look inside our heart and say with Paul, I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Why can't we get out of this darkness? We are definitely not on it. We can't change things for the better just on our own. We've tried for hundreds of years. However hard we try, we fail and we end up loitering in the darkness. So, like our friend Nick, we must come to Jesus, the light of the world, and to hear his words, you must be born again. How can these things happen? It's not something in the natural. It's a supernatural event, a spiritual regeneration of your life. It's not flesh and water, but of spirit. So rather than hold on to our arrogance and think that we are on it, we have to get on our knees and look up to the cross. It's a posture of humility and repentance. And so, as we do that, we enter into eternal life. We enter into the light and we can begin to see the kingdom around us. We begin to see the work of Jesus in us and through us to the world around. Bringing life and hope and healing, light in the darkness. Nicodemus couldn't see the kingdom because he was looking through his earthly eyes. He couldn't understand how do these things happen because he needed to be born again of the Spirit. Do you see? There's something's got to happen. A spiritual transformation has to take place. Let me wrap it up. So can we see the kingdom come? Can we see revival? Can we see these things happen? I believe that if we come out of the darkness to the light, if we fall on our knees before the cross, if we choose to believe in Jesus, crucified, resurrected, ascended into heaven, lifted up, then we will be born again. You can be born again. and we will see the kingdom come, and a new day will dawn, and revival will come, and we will see God's eternal mission come to pass. Brothers and sisters, these things will happen. Amen. We're going to turn to a time of prayer, and I want to pray into that for a little bit, because as I was preparing that, I was thinking that out of the darkness, we come out of the darkness because there's fear around. And if you're living in Leeds, if you're watching from in Leeds, you'll know, well, if you're watching from anywhere, you'll know that in Leeds, where Tom Rawdon, the chief executive, said the other day, we're bubbling under the watch list. And it raises fear in our hearts. What does this mean? So I want to pray into the fear over darkness around us as we step towards the light. So if you'll join me with that. Lord, we come to you aware that we're not on it. We come to you aware that we step out of darkness. There's darkness around us. There's fear that the enemy brings through disease, through the environment, through violence, through all sorts of, through discrimination. There's fear when we look sometimes inside ourselves, and we desperately need you. We need to turn towards the light. So we come to you, Lord. We come to you and we lay our fear down as best we can, and we kneel at the foot of the cross, and we choose to believe in you, the crucified, risen, ascended one. We come in repentance. We come knowing that we have desperate need of you. We are not on it, and we choose to believe in you, and we give our lives to you again. Amen.